Hare Krishna. So, on the occasion of the upcoming festival of Diwali, we are beginning this morning a two-part series on the lessons from Valmiki's Ramayana and the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Today and tomorrow morning we will cover a few subjects in this regard. That's why we have chosen this particular verse from the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quite interesting that all over the planet there is a kind of a wave that is going on. There is a lot of westernization happening in India, and there is a lot of Indianization or Hinduization happening in the West, in particular in the United States of America. In India, a lot of Western influence in terms of names. If someone's name is Hari, he wants to be called Harry. If someone's name is Ram, he wants to be called Ram. Very highly westernized. Foods moving from alu parathas to pizzas, you know. Moving from handwas and patras to some kinds of burgers and stuff like that. Moving from mango juices, amras to Coke, Diet Coke. Lot of westernization happening in India. Conversely, there is a lot of Hinduization happening in the United States of America. Today in America, the most popular foods are Indian foods. I don't know how it is here. But in America, the most popular foods are Indian foods, and most popular restaurants and expensive restaurants are Indian restaurants. One American person came to India and he went to a South Indian restaurant to eat, and he ordered for idli. Idli and sambar, proper typical South Indian. And in that South Indian restaurant, he was served on a banana leaf. So he had the idli sambar and he thought that the leaf was also to be eaten, so he ate the leaf also. And as he was coming out of the restaurant owner asked him, how was the food? He said the food was good, but the salad was very stiff. Because he thought that it was served on a salad, he thought the banana leaf was salad. Gone are the days when they thought like that. It's become very, very popular to eat Indian foods today. And Srila Prabhupada very amazingly introduced Indian food everywhere in the Western world. In fact, once while devotees served Srila Prabhupada hot puris which were puffed up, Prabhupada tapped into the puri and made a hole and looked at the devotees and said, I have the credit of being the first person to introduce puris in the Western world. You know, he said, I have the credit to introduce puris for the first time in the Western world. When it comes to clothes, if you go to India today, people are all after different kinds of brands. You know, so many brands: Marc Spencer, Levi's, Tommy Hilfiger, Van Heusen, Calvin Klein. All the brands of the world are there in India today, strongly westernized. And you come to the Western world, especially the United States, there's a lot of Hinduization, Indianization. You'll find people who are not Hare Krishnas wearing kurtas. You'll find ladies wearing saris. Bindis are common in America these days. You know, a lot of Indian influence, Hindu influence, coming in the United States in particular. Of course, Srila Prabhupada introduced Indian attire in the Western world. Devotees, when they go on book distribution, many people ask, what is this funny dress? You know, someone asked a devotee, what is this tucked in the back? You know, dhoti, for the dhoti. So this guy had a tie. So he said, what have you hung in your neck? He said, this is called a necktie. He said, mine is a back tie. Yours is a necktie, but mine is a back tie. So it's not uncommon to find Indian attire, Eastern attire in America today. Concepts, a lot of Western concepts coming to India. You know, Sigmund Freud is very common. Psychiatry, psychology, Sigmund Freud's idea are so easily adopted in psychology today in India. But when it comes to the Western world, everyone's adopting Eastern ideas, and karma is a common word now. You know, one guy was driving a car and the car ran over a dog. So he said, my karma ran over your dogma. You know, my karma ran over your dogma. And it's literally true that the ideas of karma have ran over dogmatic ideas of the West many times. And therefore, karma was not in the Oxford Dictionary, this word. It's funny that till Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, the word karma was not in the dictionary. And now it's a word in the dictionary. In the dictionary, there's a word called juggernaut. You know? And juggernaut means a very huge, powerful, overwhelming force. And the word juggernaut was introduced in the dictionary only after Srila Prabhupada brought juggernaut to the Western world. And there was Jagannath Rath Yatra. And when Jagannath's huge rath was seen, his huge powerful influence was seen, this phrase juggernaut, this word juggernaut was coined. And it's now in the Oxford Dictionary. You know, a lot of concepts came from the East to the West. It was very, very easily adopted. You know, in fact, language was adopted. In Dublin today, there's a school called JSS, you know, John Scott School. And they have a lot of schools. And this is the only one school in the entire Western world which has for the first time introduced teaching Sanskrit right from the beginning of their childhood till they pass school. And there's a whole email that someone sent to me, one Irish teacher in the school explaining the glories of Sanskrit and how Sanskrit is such an amazing language. You know, practices, meditation and yoga have become a common word. In America today, if you want to go and attend the Kirtan, yoga is the most popular. One Kirtan, $4. $5 you have to pay and sit. I mean, we have free Kirtans. You know, free Kirtans. But you have to pay $4, $5, $10 to go and attend Kirtans, depending on whether Shyamdas is singing or Ramdas or Krishnadas is singing. The three most popular Kirtan leaders in America. Shyamdas, Krishnadas and Ramdas. Depending on who is chanting, the rates vary. You can see how the Hinduization of America is very clearly seen. And did you know that the greatest interest in America today, the biggest books of interest today are two. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. I mean, timely opening. The biggest books of interest today in America are Mahabharata and Ramayana. Practically every American who meets a Hindu guy will ask, can I have a copy of Ramayana? Can you tell me something about Ramayana? No wonder that the Sri Vaishnavas are counting upon this interest and are promoting the Ramayana like anything. There is one gentleman called Velakudi Krishna, you know, talking about the Ramayana rampantly from a Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it's really bringing up such interest amongst people to see how this book has so much to offer. How the Mahabharata, how the Ramayana has so much to offer. Not just in terms of Krishna consciousness and spirituality, but even in terms of management, life lessons, a lot. And therefore, in the Vedic culture, we don't really need to go here and there to get these concepts. If we just open the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, everything is there. Every essential lesson, all the wisdom is in this most holy literatures and books from where we can learn. Therefore, the Niti Shastra say, how does an intelligent man spend his day? Pratah dyuta prasangena, madhyana striya prasangena, ratrau chaura prasangena, kalau gachati dhimatam. Kalau gachati, spends his kal, his time. Who? Dhimatam. Dhimata is a very intelligent person. An intelligent person will spend his day in this way. Prataha, morning. How does he spend his time in the morning? He discusses gambling in the morning. Incredible. Intelligent, cultured men of substance. In the morning when they get up, their first topic for discussion is dyuta krida, gambling. Madhyana striya prasangena, madhyana, noon time, afternoon. What do they discuss? Intelligent man, he discusses about women, striya prasangena. And this is supposed to be an intelligent man. And ratrau chaura prasangena, and in the night, such a person will discuss about thieves, burglaries, you know, looting. Kalo gachati dhimatam, an intelligent person will pass his day like this. Because in the morning he will discuss Mahabharata, discussing Yudhishthir Maharaj's gambling match and learning what I should do in life and what I should not do in life. In the afternoon he will discuss Ramayana, where he'll discuss how Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, Stri Prasanga, related to a woman, and see how he can learn from this. And Ratrau Chaura Prasangena, in the night, he will discuss about Lord Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam, his butter stealing pastimes, and see what he can learn from Krishna. Therefore, an intelligent person spends his day discussing Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and sees what he can learn. What is the wisdom he can learn from these books? Therefore, there have been a lot of personalities who have spoken on the Ramayana. In the Bhagavad, we have only few verses. And Shukdev Goswami says, Valmiki has already spoken about it. Those who are interested can read that book. You know, he doesn't go into great details on Lord Ram's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada, he also did not speak exhaustively on Ramayana. If only he had time in this world, he would have translated the Ramayana with all commentaries. He wanted to do the Gita, he wanted to do the Mahabharata. It's just that he had very less time. So he did those books which were the most crucial. The Gita, the Bhagavat, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know. But in the Sri Sampradaya, there are many acharyas who have given exhaustive commentaries on every verse of the Ramayana. And just following Sripad Ramanujacharya was one of his followers called Govindaraj. And Govindaraj has written exhaustive commentaries on Valmiki's Ramayana, verse by verse, drawing upon very, very pertinent conclusions and lessons, very, very important for the lives of practicing devotees, you know. And therefore, we are drawing some of these lessons from these sources. At the same time, they are all in the light of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. We can never keep aside Srila Prabhupada's teachings, although this comes from these sources. The main light is all from what Prabhupada has taught us, and we will see. It's all the same. So we'll take the lesson from there and we'll discuss ISKCON. Really, you know. It was Srila Prabhupada who gave the essence, finally. India, a lot of Hindus and Vaishnavas also became ritualistic. Srila Prabhupada brought the essence. There were three men once, you know, or two men were digging. One man was digging a pit and the other guy was filling in sand. Again, the guy was digging and the other guy was filling the sand. So one guy came and said, what are you guys doing? You know, you're digging and he's again coming and filling in the sand and patching it up. What are you doing? He said, no, we are actually a team of three. One guy is missing. I dig, the second guy plants the sapling and the third guy fills the sand and, you know, plants the sapling inside, covers it up so that the plant can grow. So the guy who plants the sapling is missing. So I'm digging and the guy is filling in the sand. Dirt. That's what has happened with India, you know. Just doing it for the sake of doing it. Ritualism. Srila Prabhupada came to plant the sapling of devotion. He came to give the essence of what actually was written in these Vedic literatures, in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, in the Bhagavad. So we will discuss a few lessons from Ramayana. I'll begin with the appearance of Lord Ramchandra today and see how it goes. We have very short time, two talks. I mean, I don't even know if I can complete the appearance of Lord Ram, you know, to say nothing of going ahead. But we will see where we reach in two sessions. So, the story of course begins with Dasharatha Maharaj, who lives in Ayodhya. Palatial facilities. Ayodhya is incredibly wealthy. There is no mention of anyone giving in charity there, because everyone has so much. In the whole Ramayana, there is no mention of someone giving in charity, because there is so much opulence in Ayodhya. Dasharatha Maharaj lives in a massive palace, but there is one problem. And the problem is, he has no son, no child. And the acharyas have explained that Lord Ram deliberately did not come immediately as Dasharatha was married. He did not appear in the life of Dasharatha as a son to show the nature of this material world. The nature of this material world is, no matter what we have, there'll always be a but. You know, I had fantastic prasadam, my rounds were good today, and you know, I had a good time in kirtan, but there will always be a but in the material world. And therefore, the acharyas have explained that Lord Ram wanted to show that material world is defined as but. There must always be a but. There's no situation in this material world where everything will be perfectly fine, where everything will be perfect. you know, a good family, good wife, good house, good car, good children, good education, good money, then it's not the material world. There has to be a but. Everything good, but severe backache. You know, good health, good house, good family, but disobedient children. Oh, good wife, good family, good children, but no money. There cannot be an ideal situation in this material world. And the Lord uses His father, His devotee Dasharatha, to show this. The Shri Vaishnava Acharyas say that this material world is Dukkhalayam, Ashashvatam, and no matter what one has, there'll always be a fill in the blanks. I don't know if all of you had this in Britain here. In our, of course, Indian education system adopted from Britain, so looks like it must be here. They always had this, you know, fill in the blanks. There'll be five words and one blank left always. And that blank is left for whom to fill? Krishna to fill. The only one person who can fill in the blank while in the material world is Krishna, Ram. Dasharatha's life is void. Everything is there, one blank. And that blank is filled by Lord Ramchandra later. And thus, even when Lord Krishna was here on this planet, the way the Yadu dynasty was destroyed, people come and say, why did the Yadu dynasty, why did they die so nasty? Die nasty, you know. In a very nasty way it was all ended. Die nasty. How did the Yadu dynasty die so nastily? And they just cannot conceive why. His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj in the 11th canto writes a purport. Many, many reasons. One of the reasons, amazing. He says, Lord Krishna did not want to ascribe a false status to the material world. You know, He did not want to give a false status that this is an excellent place, this is a perfect place. Lord knew, I must keep a but here. And although they are my family members, they are my devotees, straight coming in my line, the Yadu dynasty, still, since it's the material world, if everything goes fine and they lived happily ever after, only the spiritual world, not in the material world. His Holiness Devamrita Swami in one of his lectures, he said, unlimited sense gratification is available only in two places. Spiritual world and imagination. That's the only two places where we get unlimited sense gratification. One is the spiritual world with Krishna. Second is in the imagination. Nowhere else. And therefore Lord Krishna, in order to show this, the nature of this world, He had the Yadu dynasty fight with each other in such an unpleasant way. And they all died in such a nasty way. Why? Hridayananda Maharaj explains. Because He wanted to show. You may be connected to the Lord, but this material world still is a place which will cause trouble, and there'll always be a but. So also Dasharatha Maharaj, although connected straight to the Supreme Lord Ram, there was always a but. Everything in Ayodhya except a child, you know. Srila Prabhupada was in Mexico, and as they were walking, he saw a massive rubbish bin. And Hridayananda Maharaj was walking with him. He had picked up a little Spanish, and something in Spanish was written there. So Prabhupada asked, what is written here? Hridayananda Maharaj said, Prabhupada, it's written here, throw your garbage here, was written in Spanish. Prabhupada said, that means we should throw the whole material world in this can, in this rubbish bin, because the whole material world is in black to garbage place. And then as they were walking by, the local municipality van came, and there was a little rat in the garbage can. And that, I don't know what you call it, this whole machinery comes, you know, to scoop off all the garbage from the can and put it in the truck. So as this was coming down, Srila Prabhupada saw a little rat running here and there inside the garbage bin to save his life. Srila Prabhupada said, that's what I said. This material world is like a garbage can. We are all like this little rats. And Yamraj comes with his municipality van. You know, death comes to scoop us out. And therefore we should take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada did not ascribe any false status to this material world, which was Dukkhalayam, Ashashvatam. In October 7th, 1972, Prabhupada was on a morning walk. He was walking by a merit park in downtown Oakland. And as he was walking, devotees were walking with him. And he saw a park. It was written there, Children's Fairyland. Prabhupada looked around all the massive skyscrapers. and he pointed to all the skyscrapers and said, adults' fairyland. You know, this park may, this zoo may be children's fairyland, but all of this skyscrapers is adults' fairyland. And then when he was in Mexico, there were mosquitoes which are coming and biting Srila Prabhupada. Devotees around, and they were not coming on Prabhupada. So the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they're not biting you. I think they know that you're a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, here they may know, but in Kolkata they make no distinctions. You know, pure devotee or no devotee, they'll still come and bite us. And once when Prabhupada was in Calcutta sitting on a Vyasasana and giving a talk, there's so many mosquitoes hovering over his head, he came down and sat. And he said, thus the mosquitoes had dethroned me. He said, I was sitting on a throne giving a talk, but even the mosquitoes have dethroned me. And thus, whether pure devotee or poor devotee, doesn't matter. Whether big devotee or small devotee, doesn't matter. Whether Lord Ram's father Dasharath or Krishna's family Yadavas, doesn't matter. This material world remains the same for everyone. Right? Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. And therefore, the first lesson from Lord Ram's appearance is that although Dasharath Maharaj had everything, he didn't have a son, he didn't have a child, and there was a but that always keeps the misery going. Everything's going fine, but there is always a but that keeps the misery going and makes the world what it is truly. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. The second is that the acharyas have explained that the cause of all suffering is desire. Dasharatha Maharaj, of course, his desire was transcendental, wanting Lord Ram, wanting a son, the Lord to come. Yet, just for a lesson, they say that when one has everything and is not satisfied with what one has and hankers for more, that is the cause of suffering. Lord Ram, Dasharatha Maharaj had palatial buildings. He had many queens. He even had a daughter called Shanta, who of course was later on given as, to his friend. But he had a daughter, Shanta. He could have been satisfied with the daughter. But the acharyas have explained that the thing that really keeps a person dissatisfied and suffering in this world is unfulfilled, unsatisfied desires. Chitraketu Maharaj is a classic example of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well. So much, everything he had, but the desire for a child, desire for a son, whom he didn't have a child, kept him always unfulfilled in the middle of all facility. And therefore, one could be surrounded by the best devotee association, one could be surrounded by ample facilities for practice of Krishna consciousness, one could be surrounded by best devotees to give guidance, help. Yet, when there are ambitions and material desires in the heart, one can never be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. And therefore it is explained, Ashanam hi manushyanam kachid ascharya shrinkhalam yayabaddhaha pradhavanti mukaha tishthati panguvat asha. Asha refers to a shackle. Asha refers to desire. And shrinkhala means shackles. It's quite funny, when someone is shackled, he cannot move. Anyone who's tied by shackles and handcuffs and cuffs in his feet can't move, he becomes stationary. And anyone who's free from shackles can run, freely move. But there's opposite that happens with the shackles of desires. Anyone who is shackled by desires runs. One who is cuffed with the cuffs of desires runs to fulfill them. And one who is freed from desires, a free man sits quietly, not running here and there. Exactly the opposite. When a person is shackled, he can freely run. When a person is free from shackles, he can peacefully sit. Exactly the opposite happens with desires. And therefore, we see Chitraketu Maharaj having this desire to get a child. Narad Muni is an expert preacher. You know, he goes to the Krishna club to preach. Krishna club preaching is Dhruva Maharaj. You know, and then he has university preaching. University preaching is the Hariyashwas. He goes and preaches to the Hariyashwas. Then there is Sangha programs. Sangha programs is Chitraketu Maharaj Prachetas, going home to home, you know, preaching. And then you have life membership program, Prachina Barishat. He wants to make Prachina Barishat a life member. Then there is BBT preaching also, Vyasdev Street. you know, BBT in charge, straight, Vyasdev, catering to all of them based on their particular desires. The cause of dissatisfaction is unfulfilled desires, and therefore, in Krishna consciousness, if there is material ambitions in the heart, one can never ever be satisfied in the middle of the most wonderful devotee association. And therefore, in devotee life, what one needs to be on guard is material ambitions in the name of Krishna consciousness. You know, very, very important. Otherwise, always dissatisfied, like Dasharatha Maharaj was. Srila Prabhupada, he had too many ambitions in his heart. But all of his ambitions were simply to serve Krishna. All desires simply to serve Krishna. And in his final days, when he was in his deathbed, when asked what was his final desire, he said, Kuch Ichha Nahi, in Hindi. He said, Kuch Ichha Nahi. I have no desires. All he wanted was to serve. All through his life, all he did was to serve. He wanted to acquire massive properties to serve. He wanted to have influential men to come to him to serve. He wanted to meet scientists, Christian priests, Jewish rabbis, all to serve Krishna. Only one desire, to serve. And there was no other material ambition in his heart. No other desire in his heart, save and except, to serve the mission of his spiritual master. Thirdly, we can learn from Dasharatha Maharaj's case that no matter whether our desires are fulfilled or not, one can learn the virtue of tolerance and continue with one's duties. Dasharatha Maharaj, he is the case of, although he wanted a child, he didn't get a child, he tolerated it, the dualities of this world, and continued with his duty, did not give up his efforts. Vasudeva and Devaki also are a classic example of not giving up. You know, one can imagine Vasudeva is a Kshatriya. You know, 6 children are killed straight in front of him by his brother-in-law Kamsa. Kshatriyas are always in the mentality of doership. They want to do. They want to protect. They want to defend. And imagine the helpless Kshatriya Vasudeva standing there with cuffs in his hand and his legs shackled. Helpless, his brother-in-law Kamsa comes and each child, one after another, picks up the child and batters them and kills them by throwing them on the wall, shattering all the hopes of Vasudeva and Devaki. 6 children are killed straight in front of his eyes. And now, the 7th child, Balaram, is transferred, Krishna appears, and then the daughter is exchanged and Yogamaya is brought. Still, Vasudeva and Devaki, they don't give up. They are firm. Firm in their duty. Tolerant to the dualities of this world. Firm in their duties that we will not give up. And therefore, when Kamsa comes into the prison cell to now kill the daughter, Yogamaya, immediately Vasudeva and Devaki's efforts are how to save the child. This is a classic example of failures as stepping stones to success. How many times? 6 times Vasudeva failed, Devaki failed to protect these children. They could have easily given up, saying, what can we do? Kamsa's enemy is going to kill. We are shackled here. We can't do anything. Well, let's give up anyway. 6 children are gone. What's the point in crying? What's the point in trying? What's the point in hoping against hope? Let this daughter be killed. No. Vasudeva and Devaki did not give up. In spite of 6 failures, they endured it. They knew this is the nature of the world. They tolerated all the dualities that came and they were fixed in their duty, you know, to save the 7th child. And therefore, many times we may kind of get that feeling that I have been a failure in my life. Sometimes materially I have been a failure. In the eyes of the world, I am a failure. Vasudeva could have thought. Everyone's going to say he couldn't protect his children. I am a failure in the eyes of my wife. Devaki, what will she think about me? You know, what an insult for the man. Not just an ordinary man, a Kshatriya king. What an insult for him that he couldn't protect his children. But he didn't give up. He continued, you know, enduring and going on with his duty. So Dasharatha Maharaj, realizing his efforts were not being successful in begetting a child, still he continued and did not give up his duties. Srila Prabhupada also in his life had apparently so many failures, but he never gave up, you know, never gave up in trying to serve. He said, when I lost all my money in my business, when I was a grihastha, he said, I simply laughed. And all my friends were thinking, has he gone mad? He said, I simply laughed when I lost everything. I thought Krishna is sending his mercy. Yasyaha manugrahanami harishyet taddhamam shane. I simply laughed that it has all been taken away. And I continued with my duty to serve. And then when the League of Devotees came, Jhansi, 1944. Oh my God, if we read that story in Prabhupada's Lilamrita, you know, how the League of Devotees came to Srila Prabhupada. It came like here. And it was here to serve the mission of his Guru Maharaj by establishing a movement. And that lady, you know, who had given the donation, the wife of that man who gave the donation, she again conspired and pulled it out of Srila Prabhupada's hand. There was his first disciple in Jhansi, you know, at League of Devotees, Prabhakar, you know. He was the first guy to come and join Srila Prabhupada. He got initiated from Srila Prabhupada, but he couldn't do much. He was a professor, he couldn't do much. And the League of Devotees being taken away straight from his hands, right there was a failure. He didn't quit, you know. He came to the Western world and he started translating his books. And all the Gita manuscripts that he had written, stolen, gone. They were stolen. He did not quit. So many failures. Hare Krishna land Juhu. We are having this drama on Prabhupada's disappearance day. Amazing drama. Oh, how Mr. N troubled Srila Prabhupada. How many times it came and went, came and went. How many times there were kind of apparent victories, failures. Srila Prabhupada never gave up, you know. And therefore, the third lesson from the case of Dasharatha Maharaj is, although he was not begetting a child, dutifully he was tolerant and he continued putting his effort, did not allow failure to pull him down. He knew that whatever was happening was because of his karma, previous karma. He understood it that way. And I should learn how to counteract my karma and thereby beget a child. Once Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and all the devotees were with him. And they saw there was a very beautiful tree with beautiful leaves and flowers. And the branches of this tree, very tall and long, crossed over the compound of the owner and entered into the compound, the fence of the other side, other guy, neighbor. And it went, the branches were going and touching the top of the roof of the house. So devotee said, such a beautiful tree, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, he must have been the owner of this house in his past life. You know, so attached was he to the house that because of his attachments, he's born now as a tree. And look at the branches. How attached that even as a tree, the branches are tending, you know, leaning towards the roof of this house, which was his house in his previous life. And therefore, everything that happens in life happens due to karma. Dasharatha Maharaj thought, I'm not getting a child, probably it's my karma. Let me see how to counter it. He knew the way to counter it was three things. Yajna, Dana, Tapa. And therefore, Dasharatha Maharaj organized Putra Kameshti Yajna, a fire sacrifice to beget children. You know, Putra Kameshti, the very word, to get a putra, to get a son. And he organized a whole big sacrifice there. And therefore in Kali Yuga, we don't need all these things. Kali Yuga sacrifices Harinam Sankirtan Yajna. And when one practices devotional service to the Lord, Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. By the practice of devotional service to Krishna, all one's karmic reactions can be destroyed. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the NOD, karmic reactions manifest in four ways as Prarabdha. One, chronic diseases. Second, ugly body. Third, low birth. And fourth, legal implications. And Srila Prabhupada says that when one practices devotional service, karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam, all karmic influences can be destroyed, including ugliness, legal implications, chronic diseases, you know, and low birth. And classic examples in the Shastra for this are, ugliness is Kubja. Krishna's touch makes Kubja, who's ugly, beautiful. The example in Shastra for legal implications is Gopinath Patanayak, you know. And what is his name? Yeah, Gopinath Patanayak, the son who was to be put on the Changa. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's touch saves him from legal implications of King Pratap Rudra. The classic example for chronic diseases is Vasudev the leper, who had leprosy, and by the touch of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his leprosy was cured and he got a beautiful body. And the classic example for low birth is so many Vaishnavas in the scriptures who were born in a low family but exalted even more than Brahmanas and could perform sacrifices and yagyas. Satyakam Jabali is a classic example, who was born, he didn't even know who his father was, but Gautam Rishi initiated him and took him as his disciple. You know, the touch of the Lord can destroy all karmic reactions. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. Of course, in lives of devotees in contemporary times, it may not happen exactly the way it happened. You know, suddenly someone who looks very ugly, Kubja, you know, it's not that, you know, one starts chanting Hare Krishna, an ugly looking devotee suddenly becomes very beautiful. What becomes beautiful is the heart. And because the face is the index of the mind, the devotee immediately looks beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada explains that all these hippies, boys and girls, were looking miserable because of their bad habits. Now that Krishna has touched them and they put Vaishnava attire and put beautiful tilak on and they have beads in their necks, they look extremely beautiful, Srila Prabhupada said. You know? And legal implications. Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Malati Devi, you know, they were previously, somehow or the other, they were kind of connected to drugs at a point of time and they were imprisoned. And when they were being sent to the prison, Srila Prabhupada, they came and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we have been sentenced to imprisonment for a few years. Srila Prabhupada said, why? They said, Prabhupada, we were dealing with drugs before. Srila Prabhupada said, oh really? He said, when I was in Allahabad running a Prayag pharmacy, even I was dealing with drugs. He kind of made them feel, you know, don't worry, it's okay. You know, kind of made them feel at home. He said, oh, you were dealing with drugs? I was also dealing with drugs. Of course, you were dealing with medicinal drugs. And then they said, but Prabhupada, we are being sent to the prison to because of this. Prabhupada said, that's okay. Don't worry. Krishna was also born in a prison. He said, don't worry. And then Srila Prabhupada said, you don't worry. Krishna will take you out of the prison. Now that you have given it all up, Krishna will save you, bring you out and protect you. And just in a couple of weeks, they were released from the prison. I'm not saying that these kind of miracles will happen. Otherwise, devotees can start expecting, you know, okay, legal implications, why go to the court? You know, just come and chant Hare Krishna and have the Krishna touch and everything will be sorted out. No. When devotees put their effort, Krishna helps dealing with these things. The fifth lesson which we'll stop with for this morning is, after the Putra Kameshti Yagya was performed, the Yagya Purush came out with a pot of payasam or kheer, sweet rice. And Dasharath Maharaj gave this sweet rice to all his four queens, Kausalya, Kekeyi, and three queens, and Sumitra. When Sumitra ate the sweet rice, her consciousness was, I want to serve Kausalya and Kaikeyi, and I want to have sons who will serve the sons of Kausalya and Kaikeyi. Amazing mother. She did not want her own self-aggrandizement. She wanted to serve her co-wives, Kausalya and Kaikeyi. And she wanted her son to serve the sons of Kaikeyi and Kausalya. And when she ate the sweet rice, the sons that were born to her were Lakshman and Shatrughna. Right? And therefore the lesson is very powerful. Service attitude begets a service attitude. Sumitra had a tremendous service attitude in her heart. She wanted to serve her co-wives, and she wanted her children to serve the children of her co-wives. Because she had the service attitude, the children who were born also had the same service attitude. Lakshmana had the service attitude simply to serve Lord Ram. And Bharat had the service attitude simply to serve, Shatrughna had the service attitude simply to serve Bharat. So Lakshman became a servant of Ram and Shatrughna became a servant of Bharat. Why? Because attitude affects attitude, right? And therefore preaching is less about techniques. Preaching is less about styles. Preaching is less about presentations. Preaching is less about public oratory skills. Preaching is about the right attitude. And whatever is the attitude of a person who is giving Krishna consciousness, that is the attitude that is begotten in the person who is listening to that Krishna consciousness. Just like Sumitra, because she had that right attitude to serve, the children whom she begot had the attitude to serve. And therefore, leaders and preachers, when they have proper service attitude, the people whom they cater to as servant leaders or servant preachers or servant guides, they also get the same attitude. Right? Srila Prabhupada did not have all of this apparent charisma, you know, of speaking in a certain way, stylish speaking, some nectarian stuff, some new stuff. Same classes practically all the time. And his kirtan did not have a flair around it, you know. Not new melodies, Hollywood, Bollywood melodies, no. It was very, very simple. Very simple. Yet, each of his words that he spoke and each of the melodies he sang, simple melodies, created an impact on the hearts of people by creating a genuine service attitude in their hearts, you know. And therefore, once devotees were sitting with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to his devotees, actually, I am not doing anything. I am simply dreaming. You are the guys who are doing everything. And his holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj was sitting there. And he said to Prabhupada, yes, you are dreaming, but your dream is like the dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu dreams and the whole universe is created. So you are like Mahavishnu, Srila Prabhupada, you are dreaming and the whole ISKCON society is created by your dream. And all we want is, we simply want to be a part of your dream, Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON is your dream come true and we simply want to be a part of this dream ISKCON, right, which you have created. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he created everything based on his service attitude. Right? He gave that service attitude to his devotees because he had that service attitude. In Russia, one devotee was distributing books during the KGB, communist regime, and some goons came and attacked this devotee. So a KGB agent was going by, he was a pious guy. He saw this nice fellow, he's being disturbed by these goons, he's being beaten down, he's a nice guy. So this KGB man came and he just chased these goons away and protected this devotee. Did a service to that devotee. And as this KGB agent was leaving, the devotee thought, my God, he has saved me. I had to go and do something for him. So he started chasing the KGB agent. And the KGB agent was saying, don't chase me. The entire KGB is watching. If they see that you're chasing me, they'll see something. I'll be, you know, my job will be at stake. They'll probably kill me. The devotee said, no, how can I be so ungrateful? So he was just rushing after this devotee. I mean, this KGB guy. And as he came close, he said, you please take this book. He said, sir, please leave me alone. If the KGB sees that I've got this religious literature, I'll be in trouble. He said, please leave me. He said, no, please, please take this. Please, you've saved me. Finally, he said, okay, give me, no problem. He took the book. And then on top of that, this devotee said, give a donation for the Lord. Typical book distributor. He gave it and he took the he even gave a donation. And then this KGB guy, he went to his office and very secretly he read this book. And every day, secretly he would sit and sit in front of this book, fold his hand and pray. And somehow he managed to get some beads and he started chanting in office. Look, imagine his courage, you know. And then of course other people came to know. Other KGB guys, they send messages to the boss saying this guy has some mystic abilities and previously we would communicate in different ways. Now he communicates to mystic abilities. He's probably a spy to other countries. We should do something about him. And when he came to know, this gentleman from Russia escaped from Russia and came to West Germany and he joined a temple and he became one of the temple presidents. He's still today a devotee, you know. And therefore, service to a devotee will beget more service. He did this service to protect this devotee. and got more service in the future of a very responsible person, became a temple president of an entire temple. And therefore, the lesson from Sumitra here is, service attitude begets service attitude, and service begets more service. Therefore, from the appearance of Lord Ram, from Dasharatha Maharaj's situation, we can learn these first five lessons. One is the nature of this material world. There will always be a but. Right? He had everything, but no child. Second is that desire keeps a person dissatisfied. He had everything, but desire for a child couldn't enjoy what he had. And therefore, in Krishna consciousness, the best facility, best association, but his material ambition can never be satisfied. Thirdly, he tolerated the duality and continued with his duty without giving up. He didn't say my efforts are failing, like Vasudeva and Devaki. Tried to protect the daughter in spite of knowing that the six children were killed by Kamsa. The fourth lesson is Dasharatha Maharaj knew it's because of my karma. How to counteract the karma? By Putra Kameshti Yagya. And therefore, by chanting the holy names and practicing devotional service, karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhaja, all karmic reactions will be destroyed and one achieves the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And fifth is from Sumitra's taking the sweet rice with the service attitude that let children be born who can serve the children of Kausalya and Kaikeyi, we learn that good service attitude begets service attitude. And therefore, preaching is not about styles, but about having the proper attitude that can beget a proper service attitude. So we'll continue on with this thing tomorrow and discuss more from Ramayana. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bol.